KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
We're here today with author and activist Jenny Brown. Jenny is an organizer with the National Women's Liberation and the author of a number of titles, including her most recent book, Without Apology, The Abortion Struggle Now. Jenny, thank you for being here.
It's great to be here.
Let's jump right in. So in your book, Birth Strike, The Hidden Fight Over Women's Work, you conceptualize the struggle over contraception and abortion not as one about religious values, but instead as a struggle over labor. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, I think with abortion, we often think of it as a cultural issue, one that's very based on people's religious beliefs. But the birth rate in the United States is now the lowest it's ever been, and we've started to see signs of the power structure and the establishment really panicking about this. And one of the ways that countries have responded to lower birth rates is by making it easier to have kids, by providing child care and health care and paid leave, like up to a couple of years of paid leave for both parents. But here, what we've seen is more and more restrictions on our reproductive liberties. So instead of providing things that would make it easier to have kids, we are basically getting a coercive response from our government. So I argue that the this is based on basically corporations do not want to spend money on health care and child care and paid leave for their workers. They don't want to pay taxes so we can have a national child care system like they have in other countries. And basically, they're exploiting our labor and getting it for free. And the response of people has been to have fewer kids.
And so how does that idea of it being a labor struggle change our understanding of how we have to fight for these reproductive issues and justice?
Well, I think we need to stop arguing the religious angles of it and sort of arguing, you know, when life begins and all of these things, and start really talking about reproductive rights as our right to strike against unfair reproductive working conditions. And I think reproductive justice, which is a term which was coined by Black women in the 90s to describe the whole range of things we need, being able to have kids as well as being able to not have kids and to be able to raise our kids in healthy conditions, really expresses what the reason that we need reproductive rights. We need it in order to be able to determine how we're going to have kids and what our child rearing is going to be like. Right now, we're stressed out. We're overworked. We're exploited. And so people are just deciding to have fewer kids, but that's not really a solution for us. We want to be able to have kids when we want them. We don't want to be restricted. The answer that we've been getting from even establishment Democrats in many cases is, well, if you can't afford kids, you just use birth control. And that's not really an answer for people who want to be able to have children. It's a human right to be able to have children, just as it's a human right to not have them if you don't want them. So I think reproductive justice really expands our view of that. And if we think about it that way, we get a sense of the power that it gives us and the importance of that power to our liberty. And I think it also allows us to get off of the sort of the choice narrative where it's very much sort of a consumer thing, it's a personal decision, and look at the political power that's behind all of these things.
So when it comes to making a choice about whether or not to reproduce, I want to ask about abortion regulation in the U.S. today. What is the current state of abortion law in Oregon, first off?
Well, I'm not from Oregon, but my understanding is that Oregon has one of the closest to what we want, which is we don't want it in the criminal law at all, right? There should reproductive decisions and reproductive outcomes should not be treated in the penal code. It should not be a criminal offense, whatever happens. So that's what we where we really want to go. And the reason that we have to go there is because we have all these different levels of laws right now, and they're being used against folks who have a reproductive outcome that is not, you know, it's like they have a miscarriage and then they're accused of having giving themselves an abortion. Anytime you have those laws, people are going to start getting arrested for it. It's just
right. So just today, a federal judge temporarily blocked Georgia's restrictive new abortion law from taking effect. The law would ban abortions once a fetal heartbeat is detected, which can happen as early as 6 weeks. That's a month and a half into a pregnancy, before many women are even realizing that they're expecting. And this is after many other state legislations severely restricting abortion laws have been blocked by courts. In other states like Missouri, Mississippi, Kentucky, Ohio, Louisiana, how can activists in progressive states organize in support of those in states with restrictive abortion laws?
I think we need to go for a national solution. I think we need to demand that we have no abortion laws, no criminal penalties throughout the United States. I mean, there are a lot of ways to do that. You could pass a federal law that everybody has the right to do whatever they want. But of course, what we're looking at right now is all of these 6 week bans and the heartbeat things all of those are going to continue to get struck down by the courts until the Supreme Court reconsiders some of them. And most of these states are trying to be the one to overturn the basis of Roe versus Wade. So they're trying to get the Supreme Court to consider their case. And so these cases are all going to be working their way through the courts. So that's what we're facing. I think we really need to start talking about just the basic necessity of reproductive freedom. And also, why is the abortion pill so expensive and so restricted? At-home abortions are perfectly safe now. Why is that not an option for people? And I think we need to start talking about that. And in fact, committing some civil disobedience around availability of the abortion pill. I think that's going to be one of the things that we need to start doing.
And so, speaking of civil disobedience, you were actually on the front lines to open up access to Plan B, or the morning after pill. And so can you tell us a little bit about that and what you kind of learned from that experience?
Yeah, we were struggling to get the morning after pill, which is after sex contraception. It works up to 96 hours after sex. After that, it doesn't really work. And it was prescription only in the United States, even though there were 30 or 40 countries at the time that had it over the counter. The problem with prescription only is it adds costs and time, and a pill that's the more effective the sooner you take it. So we were trying to get it over the counter for all ages, and we had a 10-year fight from 2003 to 2013. I was involved in the lawsuit. Also, I was one of the plaintiffs. We did a lot of civil disobedience around that. We threw the pill out into crowds. We gave it as a door prize at parties. We blocked the doors of the FDA. We did all kinds of things, and one of the important lessons that we got from that is go for what you really want. Don't back down and say, gosh, okay, maybe it's great that, you know, we can have it for just people who are over 17. All of those kinds of restrictions end up splitting your constituency. They are not what we need, and they're to organize, we need to go for something that will help the largest number of people and not sort of back off. And that we were told to back off. We were told, oh, get it in emergency rooms for rape victims. Well, those of us who had been raped had never gone to an emergency room, so that wasn't going to help us. And frequently with the abortion struggle, we're told, oh, well, let's just go for less. It will be more likely to get it. But we're not going to be more likely to get it, because when you go for less, it helps fewer people. And then you have fewer people that are fighting for it and see it in their self-interest.
So you have a new book coming out, Without Apology, The Abortion Struggle Now. Could you tell us something about it and why it's so different from your other works?
Yeah, I mean, The Abortion Struggle Now is basically goes through in detail the history of how we won abortion rights and what the principles were that the radicals who won it used. And so I think it's going to be really good for us to look at that history and think about some of the victories that we've had recently. I also have a big section on the abortion struggle in Ireland, where they actually repealed their abortion law. I have a section on the women's health in women's hands, all of the women's self-help movement that had was going on in the 70s. I have a section on the struggle to get the New York law overturned. And the radical roots of what we did in those years have kind of been papered over, and now we're told, well, we have to lobby, we have to give money to have TV ads, and really the basic organizing is not being done. It's very much become something that experts and politicians and lawyers deal with rather than the grassroots. And so I think we need to get back to that, because that's how we were able to win in the first place.
And lastly, do you have any events coming up, or is there anything you'd like to leave our listeners with today?
Yeah, I'll be at Broadway Books tonight at 7 in conversation with Lenny Zumas, who wrote the novel Red Clocks, which is also dealing with a lot of these issues. That's at 1714 Northeast Broadway Street.
Well, Jenny, thank you so much for coming in and talking with us today. That was our discussion with Jenny Brown, author and activist, with the new book, Without Apology, The Abortion Struggle Now. I'm Leslie McLam.
And I'm Yasmin Kobanoglu.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.